My name, once again, is Chris Wilson, N0CSW. Looks like we got everything working now. I'm going to go ahead and start with a simple presentation about Yaesu products. We're going to go through some of the questions that we've been receiving from our customers, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the future of WiresX and what WiresX is and what it's going to mean to repeater operators. So to go ahead and get started, I'm going to talk a little bit about who we have here today. We have Mark Thompson, WB9QZB. Mark runs the Yahoo groups. He's also a board member with Taper. He's going to be talking about the digital communications conferences coming up in Chicago. And we have some really big release announcements that we're going to be releasing in Chicago. It's related to the DR1X repeater, so we're going to be moving forward with that project pretty quickly. We did run into some bumps with the WiresX connectivity in the DR1X. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And we're going to talk about how the WiresX system works and just kind of how it can benefit you. Starting off, one thing that I want to mention right off the bat is technical support. If anybody has had any issues contacting technical support, you can reach our tech support department at 1-714-827-7600, and that's option number 8 from the main menu. If you have any problems with your repeater, I do recommend that you call first or email to our technical support department. You can also contact Wes Gray directly. Wes is our technical guru with the System Fusion project. So if you need to get a hold of somebody direct, Wes can help you. If you'd like to email me direct, my email is c.wilson@yaesu.com. I'll handle your technical requests as I can. Of course, I travel around the United States. Many of you have seen me at a lot of ham fests around the United States, so I'm pretty busy running around, and you know I can get to those emails as quickly as I can. Typically, I have to forward them over to Wes if it's a simple question that needs to be answered. So you know, that being said, I want to talk about a little bit of the nature of repeaters. They are a very technical piece of equipment. Sometimes we need a little bit more information than just my repeater can't hear. If we get those kind of questions, we have to kind of bring the repeater back in if you don't have any test or service equipment to provide us with any statistics or anything on what's actually happening with your system. So the best thing to do is if you're having a problem, try to email us or call us with as much detail as possible before you make contact. Let us know a little bit about what kind of antenna system you have. Let us know about what kind of duplexers, feed line. You know, there's a lot of things we need to know. We need to know how your feed line's grounded. We need to know details about your tower site. Anything that you could provide. A lot of the times it really helps if you forward your coordination information over to us. So repeater coordinators around the United States would like a lot of detail. If you have a copy of that detail, please forward it to us with your technical request. It can better help me and Wes work together to try to figure out what your problem is. So moving on a little bit, and with the technical questions that are going to be coming up, please post your questions. We're going to be answering those as quickly as we can. We're going to be posting them on our new Yaesu System Fusion website. We've already collected a lot of questions from these webinars, and we've answered those either directly through the webinar or we've posted them online. So what we're going to do now is we're going to compile that all into a knowledge base, and we're going to make that available to you. So within the next 3 to 4 weeks, be planning on seeing an announcement of the new website. Of course, we will be premiering the new website at the Taper Digital Communications Conference. Just to take and give a quick note on shirts, I'm receiving a lot of emails on shirts. Of course, we do send an automated response back when you email in. The shirts are being printed. We had about 100,000 shirts to print, and we're still sending those out. We have an entire factory dedicated to printing those shirts, so that's in progress right now. The shirts have to be printed in a two-step process, and that's because everyone ordered custom sizes. So the first thing we do is we actually have to order the shirts, each individual size shirt. We embroider them with the System Fusion logo, and then we come back and actually do the call sign. So it's really a three-step process. So It takes a little bit of time for us to get that done. As I said, we have a whole embroidering facility right now working that's dedicated to those shirts. And they're getting out as quick as possible. They are being sent out in the order that you placed your order for your repeater. So if you placed your order back in December, you should already have them up until about April. Some of the April orders are still getting sent out, so some of you have received them, some of you haven't. And we're going to keep processing all the way up to July 31st. So that is coming. The next announcement I'd like to make, of course, we have Mark Thompson here at WB9QZB, along with Ken Ark. And we got Juan Hernandez and Wes Gray in here. So Mark is going to talk in a minute about the TAPER Digital Communications Conference. He's going to talk a little bit about the history of that conference and what it means for the future of digital communications. So in amateur radio, this is one of the premier conferences for digital communications. And as I mentioned before, YAESU has a very big release that we would like to announce at the DCC. We'd like to see all of you there. There will be a small forum for YAESU. It's going to be an introduction to our products as well as a release announcement. It's not going to be a very long presentation, but we want to do this at DCC because in the past we've had a very good response from the community when we've released these products there because of the amount of people that attend the DCC and because of the amount of people that watch the conferences and forums online. So Mark will be talking about that. Continuing on and a little bit more of the technical stuff in the DR1X repeater, the next biggest question that we've received is there's been some lockup issues. Those lockup issues have been corrected in firmware version 1.0b. We'd like to get some reports if you're still having them in 1.0b, but we're not seeing a lot of them. So we'd like to kind of get some feedback from that. And, you know, we're currently working on compatibility with the ADR1 and 1.0b. And Ken Ark will talk a little bit more about his experiences with the repeater and the ADR a little bit later here. So Japan is researching what is going on with the ADR1 right now. We've sent some reports to them. And we don't know exactly why there's an incompatibility at the moment, but we're assuming that it's related to the changes that have been made to the repeater that are currently preventing most of the lockups that people are experiencing. And the reports of the lockups have gone significantly down. So we're not hearing a lot about it in 1.0b. So if you wish to step up to it, you can, but please be advised that the ADR interface may not work on that. We do have some new firmware updates planned in the first quarter of 2016. We'll see some major changes in the repeaters there. We don't know exactly the release date. We've just been given a pretty broad projection of quarter one, 2016. So that all being said, I wanted to clear up the most common questions there. Please post some if you have some that you would like to have answered at the end of this webinar. I'll be dedicating about 15 or 20 minutes towards answering those questions for you a little bit later on. So moving on, WiresX is going to be the next biggest release for the repeater. Now, we've had a couple of issues that we've ran into with the repeater hardware and increasing compatibility with the WiresX system. Currently, it only works if you're in analog mode, fixed, or in fixed digital mode. So the engineers have been working really, really hard to get automatic mode select working. It has not been an easy task whatsoever. I just recently visited Japan and spent a few days with the engineers going over the hardware, going over the ADR interfaces, external controllers, and we gave them everything that you guys have talked about online, or anything. If you called in and made a recommendation, we literally gave the engineers about 20 pages worth of recommendations for the new repeater, the new repeater firmware that's going to be coming out for WiresX. So we're trying to get as many of those features just crammed in there as reliably as possible. We want to give you guys a good feature-rich repeater. We want you to be able to use it with your external controllers, and we especially want you to be able to use it networking with the WiresX software. So moving on to what WiresX is, for those of you that don't know, WiresX is our digital linking technology. Currently, it works with the FTM400 and the FTM100DR. Those are our two mobile radios. They're 50-watt VHF and UHF. And I'll go into a little more on the FTM-100 here in a minute. But you plug it into the HRI-200, and it gives you what's called a node. You can also plug it into the repeater in a fixed mode, and you can kind of use the repeater as a node, though it still has some compatibility issues with the Wires X unit. We can transfer audio, we can link up the repeater, but it's not really fully performing some of the stuff like Smart Search and Smart Access. So what Wires X enables you to do right now is network these mobiles and, in basic mode, network these repeaters and talk either analog or digital. It also allows you to connect analog to digital or digital to analog, meaning that if you actually have somebody with an analog node at point A and a digital node at point B, they can both still talk to each other, and the Wires X network is going to convert that signal to maintain complete compatibility. Wires will allow you to direct connect, or you can join what's called rooms. Inside these rooms in Wires X, you can actually communicate with multiple nodes or multiple repeater systems. It's kind of similar to what an email reflector is when you send out a message in a room, when you send out an email message, it goes out to everybody if you're connected in a room. Direct connection via node just means you're going to have two participants at point A and at point B. It's not going to be a multi-point connection. And in Wires X, there were a few things that we saw in some of our other competitors' digital networking systems that they didn't quite have. And one thing is we wanted to make it an independent system. That means we didn't want you to actually have to connect to the internet or upload any type of database or firmware update to your radio in order to be able to search and find other nodes and other rooms out there within the Wires X network. We created what was called the preset search function. And the preset search function allows you to actually search from your radio and to browse and navigate to other rooms and to other nodes via RF. That means you disconnect to the node via Wires X, and it'll allow data access to and from the radio that's real time, meaning that if somebody actually turns their node off or turns their node on, you will have access to see what's going on, as well as if anyone joins the network, that database will be updated in real time, and you can go out and find them. We added a couple of other features that we thought was important to clubs and groups, and it's called the news station function. The news station function will allow you to store voice, text, and data messages or images within the Wires X system, and you can retrieve them right from your radio and store it back on the SD card on the radio for later retrieval or to play the image or to read the text message. So that's a really, I think, is a strong feature, is being able to store and retrieve data without the need for an internet connection. We also created a system called Smart Access, which I've talked about a little bit. You do not need an internet connection in order to retrieve data from this system. So it's completely independent of the internet. It's RF only, and it goes right into the node station. And this I think is really important because of reliability factors, especially in emergency communications. If a more reliable internet connection is established at a tower site, which typically we see in commercial internet installations, when internet might be knocked out in surrounding areas, you can still get on the Wires X network and still use all of its features in the event of an emergency. The very last thing I want to talk about when it comes to Wires X is the easy setup. There's no call signs to route. There's no special things to put into the radio. You literally put your call sign into the radio, you connect via Wires X, and you're ready to go. So in just a couple button pushes, you're actually on the network. You can operate and connect to different node stations and communicate with all kinds of different node stations out there without having to do anything complicated. When I first got into some of the other digital modes, I did find it very difficult. I did find myself buying nifty guides. Or in some cases with other digital modes, I found myself actually getting on the internet and having to download third-party software or code plugs and so forth just to get my radio to work with the network. And in my experiences with some of those other products and running them as a system administrator, as a repeater trustee for some of these networks, I found myself spending a lot of time configuring other people's radios. So smart access and the easy setup features of wires and the System Fusion digital system was very appealing to me even before I came to work for Yaesu. So touching on those, I want to go ahead and move on and talk a little bit about some of our products before we call Mark in to talk a little bit more about the DCC. And of course, I will unmute him here in a second because he was getting a little bit loud, but sorry about that, Mark. The newest handheld that we have on the market is the FT2DR. And for those of you that are new to Fusion, even some of you that have been using Fusion already, they don't know a lot about this radio. This radio does have dual vocoders in it. We got a lot of requests from our customers to be able to monitor on the sub-VFO, so on the BVFO. So now you can actually monitor on both VFOs. You can transmit digital on both VFOs. And it's a really powerful feature to those of us who want to have a conversation going on or want to listen to two conversations at once. I find myself in the Orange County area with the amount of repeaters we have out here doing just that, especially in AMS mode, so I can go in between digital and analog. So that's been a really neat feature of the radio and really neat addition. That's something that our engineers have taken into consideration on future products. I'm hoping that we'll see that. Of course, we don't always know what's going to come out, and we don't always know why it's going to come out that way, typically because we do have to hit a price point in the market, and we do have to please an international market. So right now, we don't know how many mobiles or portables are planned with the dual vocoder, but that's something that the FT2DR has. Of course, it's the world's first touchscreen radio, and it does display images on screen. There's a very nice dot matrix display on the radio. It's similar to some of our FTA series aviation radios, so it's really high resolution. We can see some of the wires and System Fusion graphics on there. It has a nice bright backlit display that we can easily see some of the information from Smart Search and Smart Access. And it just overall, it's a really good, really rugged radio design. I've been carrying one of these around with me since Dayton. I've dropped them, beat them, scratched them, done all kinds of things that have made my boss angry when he replaces them. But we have, I can guarantee you that we have actually beat these radios pretty hard. They are just this really, really tough, really, really tough radios. It does have a 2.2 amp hour battery. We saw on the FT1DR that there was a little bit of battery drainage, a little bit quick, but it wasn't too bad. We went up to the 1800 milliamp hour battery on the FT1DR later on. We started off with an 1100 milliamp hour battery, which rectified that problem. And now on the FT2DR, we stepped up to a 2.2 amp hour battery, which is a really nice addition to that radio. It does have an alligator spring-loaded clip with it. We listened to the market on that. I think the biggest complaint on the FT1DR was it did not have that clip. That is also available from our dealers. If you have an FT1DR and you want to get that spring-loaded clip, you can go to any one of our dealers and order the SHV13 belt clip, and that'll be an alligator spring-loaded clip for your FT1DR. It also fits the VX8 radios and, of course, the FT2DR. We threw a little bit more audio out on this radio. We have 700 milliwatts audio output. It's a very loud radio. It's got a very robust speaker in it and sounds really, really good. The speaker they used in it is just amazing. The voice quality is even better, the R. So I was really impressed with that. And finally, one of the big features of the radio is when used with our MH85 A11U speaker microphone, when you snap a picture, you'll see it on screen. And when you receive a picture, you'll see it on screen as well. So that's been a really nice addition to this radio that's made me pretty happy to sell it. And, we looked at that and said, okay, well, if you're taking an image with these radios, you need to see it, like with the FTM400DR. So the nice color touchscreen on the FTM400DR does show you the image when you take it, and it does display it back. But all of our portable guys out there running around said, well, if we're out in the field, we really need to know what we're sending. So this is the solution, is we have on-screen image display. Now, that image display isn't in color, but the dot matrix screen is pretty high resolution, so you can see what you're shooting, and you can see what you took a picture of, and get more than a good idea of what's going on. Moving on to the FTM-100, in the last webinar, I talked about this radio, so I'm going to go through it a little bit quick. It is a dual-band VHF-UHF radio. It is a single-receiver VHF-UHF radio, so that's something that's a little bit different than the FTM-400. And this was a cost issue. We wanted to bring this radio down a little bit in price and make it a little bit more affordable for a couple different classes of people that didn't want to quite go out and throw the money down on the FTM-400. I consider this an entry-level radio. That's one class that I would define it as well as a radio that's really, really good for the WiresX network. And WiresX is just really taking off right now, and a lot of people don't want to throw a $500 to $600 radio on a node just to sit there and run. So this is one of those solutions that brings the cost down a little bit. It still does have a remote faceplate. It's got a very high contrast dot matrix LCD display on it. And we have the new interactive, I call them, or advanced LED indicators that actually change color between red, green, and blue to let you know what mode's being received and what mode's being transmitted. Moving on now, I'm going to ask Mark Thompson to come in for a minute. Mark's on via audio. Mark, are you there? Hello, Mark. Yeah, I hear him wrestling around. Mark's going to talk a little bit about taper and the DCC. So as soon as he comes in here. Okay, go ahead, Mark. Mark, are you there? We might have lost him. Okay, let's just move on here a little bit. And Ken from ARCOM, if you want to go ahead and pop in, I've got Ken from ARCOM here who makes the RC210 and the ADR1 interface. It's an interface we've been using with the DR1X repeater to increase compatibility between analog and digital even further. So Ken, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Mark. How are you hearing me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you okay. If you want to go ahead and take it over, you're more than welcome.
Okay, I've got it. Good evening, everybody. This is Ken Ark, AH6LE. I am the owner and head bottle washer at ARCOM. And as you know, we sell controllers. We also design and sell the ADR interface for the DR1, and DR1X, that is. And Chris asked me if I could take a little bit of time to explain a few things, and perhaps even later I'll be able to take some questions if anybody has any. Right now, I guess the biggest issue that anybody has with the ADR would be the compatibility issues with the B version firmware. And I just wanted to let everyone know that we are working pretty closely with both Chris and Wes on this, and several of our customers have contacted us directly with the symptoms they've noticed and some various testing procedures they've gone through. And they were able to actually dig up quite a bit of useful information based on their observations. So Wes is aware of that, and at this point I believe the engineering team in Japan is also aware of it. So we're continuing to work on it. Our main product is the RC210 controller, of course. I come from the old school way of doing it. Matter of fact, I had probably one of the very first synthesized 2-meter remote base systems in the United States back in the 1970s. And for those of you who were around at that time, it was all wire-wrap TTL and a card cage, and the radio was a good old Motorola Metron with a Vanguard synthesizer on it, and kind of cut my teeth doing that, and over the years, of course, went to the advanced computer controllers, ACC RC850, which I ran for quite a number of years, but always found it very lacking in the area of linking, and I was very interested in that. So when the time came to implement my ideas and my system, that's when I sat down and designed the RC210, and we've been here ever since. So the 210 is a very full-feature controller, as I'm sure most of you know. It is a three-port controller, and it has an awful lot of features on it, everything from A to D conversion, of course, built-in speech, but we do not use synthesized speech. We actually had our vocabulary professionally recorded by a professional announcer, and we think it sounds pretty darn good. And, of course, you do have the own onboard digital voice recorder as well for your own messages. Scheduling of events and macros and logic inputs and logic outputs, so you can both be controlled by and control external hardware at your site is possible. And it's worked out very well. We have a lot of customers. We sell our products all over the world. We have an awful lot of our customers are now in Australia. And I think the DR1 is also up and coming in there as well. So anyway, Chris just wanted me to take a little bit of time to explain this to everybody. And the ADR interface, as I said, this does get around some of the issues right now with interfacing a DR1X to an external controller. While we did design the ADR to work with our controller, it does work with anything out there. So that should resolve a lot of the issues that people are having who want to maintain the automatic mode selection capability of the Fusion system. So that's really about all I have for everybody. We are located in the wonderful state of Oregon, halfway between Portland and Salem, and we are open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific time. And we're not a very big operation, but we're awful plucky and like to think that we're very responsive to our customers' needs. So if you ever have a question or want to look at our products, our website, it shows on the screen there is www.archivecontrollers.com. And pretty much anything you need can be found there, or you can give us a call. Our phone number is area code 503-678-6182, and you'll probably get to hear my melodious voice when you call. So, Chris, I'll turn it back over to you. Thank you very much for the chance to talk to everybody out there, and I'll hang around in case there are any other questions for me.
All right. Thanks, Ken. And just a little background on me and Ken. I used to use his controllers when I built repeaters in Joplin, Missouri. As some of you have actually bought my repeaters, I should have about 500 of them out there. The RC210 was one of my favorite controllers. I was really excited to find out that Ken was working on this project, so that was just something that was really neat to me. I'd also used a lot of SCOM controllers, and I do have SCOM in here. We'll get back to them in a minute, but actually, Mark, are you in here now? Did your audio come back? Okay, I guess his audio is not back quite yet. I have Dave from SCOM Controllers, and I want to give everybody a little background on SCOM. It's also one of the more compatible controllers with the DR1X. We worked with SCOM a couple years ago at Dayton when I first came on with Yaesu. The SCOM engineers were at Dayton. They had a booth out in the flea market, and they were approached by our engineers, and they said, you know, we really want to make a compatible controller with for the DR1X. So they kind of sat down and worked together and gave the SCOM guys a little bit of feedback on how our repeater works, and the SCOM guys gave us some feedback on what to do to make it a little bit more compatible with their controller. So I'm going to go ahead and unmute Dave right now, and we'll talk a little bit about SCOM and how SCOM interfaces with the DR1X. And Dave, are you in there?
I am, Chris. How do you hear me tonight?
I'm hearing you good. We got Dave on via the phone, so it's a little bit lower quality, but it sounds pretty good. Dave, would you mind telling us a little bit about your relationship with Yaesu, how that came about, and some of the compatibility features in the controller?
Sure. Thanks for having us on tonight. We started working with you guys a couple of years ago at Dayton, or even before Dayton. It was a couple of months before Dayton, and evaluating the external controller interface And the way we got involved was that a number of the owners of the DR1 put in a request to YAESU to be able to interface the ESCOM 7330 three-port controller with the rear at the external I/O port of the DR1X. And for those of you not from, I know a lot of you out there are already running the 7330 with the DR1X. For those of you who don't know, it's a three-port controller where all the resources are available on all the ports. So you've got recorded speech that you can use on all ports. You've got tone encoders for all ports and DTMF decoders and so on. One of our owners, Justin Reed in Kansas, has put together a programming script that handles the timing, I'll call them issues, the timing issues with the DR1X and the external I.O. controller or the external I.O. interface so that the external controller can handle all of the analog functions of the repeater and allow the DR1X to do all the digital repeat functions. We're at escomcontrollers.com. We're available by email pretty much all the time, by phone in the evenings, and we'd be happy to take your questions and help you through any of your configuration issues you might have, and answer any questions you might have on how the two work together.
Wonderful, Dave. I appreciate that. And both ARCOM and ESCOM, we appreciate you being here. We have, I think, about, I'd say about 75% of the repeaters that we've sold, you know, run one of your controllers. So we've been very happy to have you guys, you know, around to support us. And we're very happy for people like Justin Reed, who runs the YAESU System Fusion Yahoo group. A lot of you are members of that. Of course, we advertised to that group today. And we thank him very much for what he does. I want to remind everybody, too, that we do have the YAESU USA Yahoo group. We have a Google Plus group as well. Those are the official YAESU groups. If you need to ask questions where you need an official response, please post to those groups. While we do appreciate people running third-party groups, we do feel the need to have our own group and answer those questions in a centralized place rather than jumping all around the Internet trying to find out who's asking questions. We found that when we do that, we have to monitor a little bit more than one group. So going on, if Mark's actually not available in here, I will go ahead and talk a little bit about the DCC and some of the stuff that's going to be going on there. Of course, I don't know as much as Mark does, him being so close, working so close with them. So, Mark, are you able to get in yet? No, we have him muted there. So, what we're going to go ahead and do? Let me go back over here to the DCC. At the DCC, now I've only been in attendance for 1 year. It's a really a form-based show. You know, there's a lot of forums that go on, and it's a very highly technical show. So I know a lot of the people that are involved with the System Fusion project are very technical people. Repeater owners are typically what I like to call high-end hams. And YAESU gearing up for that kind of technical support has been a very long and difficult road for us. There are a lot of, technical questions that have to be asked, and we find these kind of people at the DCC. So we feel a need to engage the DCC and in some form every year and provide our support to them because the amount of experience that their presenters provide to the technical community. I can't even begin to say how much I've learned from it. The DCC is what got me into packet radio about 8 years ago, and I've been an avid digital operator ever since. Every year I do get on YouTube and watch all the forums. It's a very powerful event if you're involved in any way with digital communications from PSK31 to high-speed data transfer over microwave. So it doesn't matter what you're doing. there's usually something there for everybody. There's usually a vendor. There's usually, you know, something going on that's really, really entertaining and really, really interesting. So I myself am pretty excited that I'm going to get to go there this year, and I'll look forward to actually seeing a lot of you. And it looks like we might have Mark.
Hey, Chris.
Yes, Mark, I got you. Can you please
take
a look? Yeah, I can hear you, Mark. If you're in there, if you want to take over, you're more than welcome, sir.
Well, the problem is...
Yeah, there is a problem. Sorry, yeah, I'm losing you there, Mark. It's I'm not sure what it is. You might have some packet loss or something going on there. A little bit of packet loss, so... what I'd like everybody to do is if you want more information on the DCC, please shoot me an email to c.wilson@yaesu.com. I'll put together an information packet on paper. I've already got some information from Mark. You can also send it to the dr1xprogram@yaesu.com email address, and we'll send out a mass email. If you got an email from us, go ahead and be expecting that. We'll send it through our System Fusion mailing list as well as our VHF and UHF radio mailing list. So, that being said, we'll wait here for a minute after the webinar is ended, and I'm going to see if Mark is able to pop in. If a few of you want to stand around and wait, we'll try to get him going so he can talk a little bit more about the history of DCC. I don't really have too much history, but you know, like I said, I'm excited to be going, and I'm really excited about what I have to present at the DCC. So, everybody, thank you for being here, and we'll check with Mark back. I'm going to give him about 5 minutes here and see if he comes back in. Thank you all for viewing. Please post your questions. I'm going to be reviewing those. And in about 5 minutes, I'll come back and we'll answer some questions.
Hi, Chris. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you good.
Okay, this may not work very long. My DSL connection has been very unstable, so if I just go away, that's why.
Yeah, you went away, Mark. So, oh, boy, I'm sorry about that. You know, Mark, we'll send out a packet to everybody. We'll get that stuff out to them, and if you're able to get in via phone, we'll wait here for a minute. I'm going to go through and review some of the questions, and we'll be answering those questions right now.
I raised my hand there.
Yeah, Mark, you're unmuted. I can hear you. Yeah, I got you.
Well, no, I can go ahead and talk.
Yeah, it's going out, Mark. We'll go ahead and move on. But like I said, we'll send out a pretty good packet there for you. So I'm gonna go through a couple of these questions, Mark. If you pop back in, let me know. You know, over on the phone, I think you hit *1 to unmute yourself. That's how that works. But going on, you know, once again, I see a lot of questions in here about wires. It looks like that was after we started, so we'll go ahead and move on about that. Let's see here.
Chris, can you hear me?
Yes, Mark, I can hear you.
Okay. I think I discovered the problem. Well, so you can hear me just fine now? Here's what the problem has been. The problem has been is my DSL connection, when I've been connected to this webinar, has been bouncing up and down. Why, I don't know. So I connected on the phone here, and I've been connected on the phone, but I just realized on the phone connection that there was a mic mute function that I just discovered. So I will very quickly kind of elaborate on the DCC.
Go ahead. We'll reprimand you later. No, I'm just kidding.
Sure.
it's your
story. Well, it's nothing else. It's been a learning experience. I guess I shouldn't use DSL for this kind of thing. I should just use my cell phone, which seems to work just fine. Okay, so TAPR is the National Digital Organization. TAPR has been around since the early days of packet radio, since 1982, for 33 years. TAPR's history was with the development of packet radio, which, you know, was vibrant for about 15 years. About 10 years ago, maybe a little more, TAPR got involved heavily with SDR, and TAPR has been well known fostering and advocating new technologies like SDR, like digital voice, like digital television. One of the things that Tapper's had since the mid-90s is a digital communication conference. And at this digital communication conference, some of the probably the best innovators in ham radio attend. And the way it works is that Tapper solicits for papers every year, technical papers. If you have a technical paper that you submitted, you're entitled to give a presentation at the digital communication conference, although you don't have to. If there's time available, others can present as well. Also at the DTC, there are concurrent introductory forums. So the DCC Digital Communication Conference, which moves around the country every year, and is held at a different location typically, has two full days of technical forums. It has a that's on Friday and Saturday, which will be October 9th and 10th this year. And then on Saturday, on October 10th, there is a full day of introductory forum.
No, I didn't know when to interrupt you because you were in the middle of everything, so.
Okay, somebody else there?
Why don't you eat some love?
Can you still hear me, Chris?
Yeah, I got you. Someone got unmuted there for a second.
No, I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, it sounds like somebody jumped on here. So anyway, there are concurrent introductory sessions on Saturday, which means that even if you're not the most technical person, if you do, you know, on Saturday we have a separate track of introductory sessions. There is a banquet on Saturday night. We usually have a very interesting speaker. This year the banquet speaker is going to be Ward Silver, N0AX. Ward is an ARL author and editor. He's giving a presentation. And then on Sunday morning, there's a Sunday seminar. If you haven't gotten enough technology by Sunday, it's usually a deep dive into a subject on Sunday morning. This year, we've got a full slate of technical presentations. We have a full slate of introductory presentations. One of the introductory presentations is going to be Chris himself doing an intro to System Fusion and Wires X and talking about some of the upgrades that are coming to System Fusion and Wires X. So that is the Digital Communication Conference. If you want to know more about the DCC, you can go to tapper.org/DCC. That's TAPR.org/DCC. You'll find information about the presentation schedule, the hotel. The hotel that the DCC is being held at is at the DoubleTree Hotel in Arlington Heights, Illinois, which is in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. There is a free hotel shuttle between the hotel and O'Hare Airport, so if you're flying in, if you're not flying, if you're driving to Chicago, there's a full intersection at the I-90 toll road and the Arlington Heights road. I understand that the hotel may be sold out now, so there are four hotels in the fairly close proximity of the DCC hotel. There's a Courtyard by Marriott and a Red Roof right across the street. I've been sending a lot of people in the last two or three days to the Courtyard. There's also a Motel 6 about a half mile west and a Holiday Inn Express about a half mile to the north. So I think anybody who wants to come to the DCC should be able to find a hotel room relatively close. So I hope everyone can attend. Like I say, this conference does move around the country every year. One of the reasons we move it around the country is to give people in other parts of the country an opportunity that the DCC might be in their area. Like I say, every year is different. The presentations are different, both for the technical forums and for the introductory forums. Next thing I just want to make, so that's the DCC. Look forward to many of you being able to attend. The other thing I wanted to mention is that I'm also the moderator of the largest Yahoo group for System Fusion on the Internet, not to be confused with the Yaesu Facebook pages or Facebook groups. This is separate. We have about 2,400 members in the group right now. I think probably almost everybody who's involved in Fusion on some level is probably a member of the group. If you're not a member of the group, you can join the group by just looking for Yaesu System Fusion. It's all one word concatenated. Just search in Yahoo groups for Yaesu System Fusion. You can join the group. Like I say, there's 2,400 members. There's dozens of files and links available on the group. And if you've got any kind of question, if you post it on the group, you'll inevitably get an answer. Just because of the amount of individuals on a group. Chris is also on the group himself. So I wanted to mention that as well. And I think, Chris, that kind of wraps it up. I won't go on any further talking about the DCC and about the Yahoo group. So thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate that. And after we get done with the Q&A here, any of the presenters, I'm going to open up audio for everybody. If you want to have an open discussion about anything, you know, we can sit here and chat. I also encourage people to engage in the chat section of the website. You should have that down at the bottom of your screen. So what I'm going to do right now is kind of go through a couple of these questions. I'm going to start off with one that was asked by Denton Sachs. It was pretty, you know, caught me by surprise here, but because I found 14 different clubs that have had lockups of firmware 1.0 OB. Tech support told me to send the repeater back. 14 different repeaters still locking up with new firmware. 10 have no external controller. We do need to investigate why those repeaters are locking up. There are other issues that are causing lockups that are not related to firmware. So we have to kind of take a look at that. We will take care of you with those repeaters. Our technical support customer service department's really quick about getting those back. If we've only found 14, that's not too bad out of the thousands of repeaters we had out there. We really haven't seen this as a huge problem even before this firmware update, so we kind of need to bring them back in to investigate them a little bit. Mike Sigler asked, he ordered his repeaters back in February, should he have received his shirts already? Yes, you should have, but there might be something that's a problem. So if you've ordered your shirts or you ordered your repeater back in February and you did fill out the proper form, please give us a call or send us an email and we'll look into what might be the issue. Typically what we're seeing, sometimes the form in that section where you filled out your shirt sizes, you didn't enter enough shirts, or maybe there was an inconsistency with the amount of shirts. And at some point we tried to contact you, but you know, if we didn't make contact, then the shirt order didn't go in. If we made contact with you late to verify your shirt order, that's something else that can delay it. We contacted everybody in order. We came back in, and we updated our log files. So if you didn't get those, you know, those confirmations back to us in time, that could have delayed it just a little bit. I'm going to move down, and there has been a question about from Dave Carter. The baseband of the FTM400 works great, and I was wondering if there are any plans for a mobile fan for the FTM400. There are at this point, but I have requested that a 12-volt fan be added to what we're currently producing. So, you know, you can run it mobile, but it's just not in the package right now. So we've asked for that, but we're really not sure if research and development, if that's something that they may do or not. Okay, one moment here. And we'll go through here. David Russo asks, will we be coming out with an thing right now, but it's definitely something that R&D is looking into because we got a lot of requests from that. Let's see here, what else we got? From GS, I need a controller. Well, I can recommend an Arcom RC210 or an SCOM 7330 because I know they work so well. Okay. David Weltley asks, is there a way of getting data or pictures out of the radio so you can send it by other means without having to tell the SD cards? Or a way to send pictures from another source through the radio? When I was visiting Japan, this was something that I really pressured with the engineers. Of course, they haven't gotten a response back to me yet, but I think this is a pretty important feature to have. In the future, I think we're going to see some data access modes on these radios. And I really hope they get back to me before the DCC. That's something that I would really, really like to talk about. That is something that's really on not only the owner of the company's mind, but on the engineer's mind at the moment. So that has been noted. That has been sent in. We've heard a lot of feedback from everybody about being able to connect you know, external data devices like a PC or a tablet to the radios to do other stuff. So I'm hoping that's coming, but we just don't have any confirmation of that yet. COR from Dan White. COR is open collector on the back of the repeater. So you will want to pull, it is low until it goes high for the signal. I'm thinking of the push-to-talk is over at its bed to ground to push-to-talk the repeater. Another question from Peter Green. Will a cat-like interface using the serial port become available for configuration and control of the repeater from a PC? I don't see that at this time. Maybe in a future repeater release we can do something like that, but right now we don't have that. By the time the DCC rolls around, we'll have a lot more information on that as well. David Bash asked if anyone's having a problem with the WirusX software crashing at random times. This is not something that we ever hear here at Yaesu. If you do have software crashing, it could be a problem with your PC. In cases like that, random rebooting, crashing, certain audio issues, people have been hearing some clicking here and there in their audio. Please give us a call so we can investigate that. We've found that to be PC configuration issues, and we can really assist you with trying to resolve some of those issues, or at least pointing you in the right direction towards resolving some of those issues. Okay, let's see here. From John Hillard, can the FT1D radio decode any of the digital formats being used by public safety, police, and fire, or who are using Motorola Moto Turbo? No, it cannot, unfortunately. The technology is inside the radio to do that. I'm not aware of the limitations of the FT1D exactly, but that's something that we've taken back to the engineers just on my last visit to Japan this August, and they are going to get back to me on that one. So that's another topic for the next webinar that we're definitely going to we're going to record that one and go ahead and put that on the roster for next time and see if we can figure that one out. Okay, moving down here, from Josh Kittle, any news about firmware updates on the FT2DR? I know there have been several issues reported about audio leaking between the VFOs. We've had a few people have problems with that. There is a slight audio issue on the second VFO. It depends on the settings the radio are in. So the engineers are aware of that. They're working on that actively right now, and we should see some type of a firmware fix for the FT2DR coming up here soon. So that's something that our technical support department and myself has reported back to our Japanese engineers. They are fully aware of it, and we should see something coming here in the very near future. Okay, everybody, it looks like I got through most of the relevant questions here. I have two support technicians right now that are answering these questions. So if you're on the webinar, go ahead and stay on, and you'll see some of those questions answered over about the next 15 minutes. After that, what we're going to do is we're going to take this blog file, we're going to answer all these questions, and we're going to post it on the Yaesu, a link to it on the Yaesu Facebook page. We'll be posting it on our Facebook page, the Yaesu System Fusion Facebook page, and we'll be sending it out to the Yaesu System Fusion Yahoo group. So we'll send it out to a few different places there. As Mark Thompson said, the Yaesu System Fusion Yahoo group is a great resource for technical help. There's a lot of people that are monitoring that, including myself and Ken Ark and some of the other people out there that are leaders in the repeater industry. So if you have a question that needs to be answered pretty much 24/7, please use that group. If not, give us a call here at Yaesu or give us a call at Yaesu first. We'll do anything that we can to help you. Yaesu has world-class support, and we will always support our customers. That's what we make our name on, and we will always do it. If anybody has any further questions, please post them now, and we'll get those questions logged in over the next 15 minutes. I'm going to go ahead and sign off. This is Chris Wilson, N0CSW, saying 7-3 for now. Okay, guys, you're all unmuted if you want to chat. If not, you're more than welcome to head out of the webinar now. We've got Dave, Ken Ark and Mark Thompson in here, and so if anybody wants to get in and chat, feel free to do so.
Yeah, I've really got nothing. Just been paying attention and available to questions, see what questions come in. So we'll see how that goes. Other than that, good job, Chris. Went well.
Thanks, Ken. I appreciate that. And Dave, I really appreciate you guys coming in. Mark as well. You know, thank you guys a lot. It just really helps to get some people out here, you know, that are in the community, kind of, you know, chatting about what's going on. So we got some good questions there, good feedback from these people. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for having us on, Chris. Appreciate the opportunity, and look forward to chatting with you and any of our customers anytime.
Thanks a lot, Dave. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm glad I got this thing figured out. If we do this next, I'm just going to do it on my telephone. Now I know how to fully use GoToMeeting on the phone here.
Hey, Mark, who's your DSL service with? Mark, who's your DSL service?
It's with AT&T, but, you know, there's something bizarre going on because the DSL drops once in a while very, very, very infrequently. But when I had this webinar going on the PC, it was dropping every two minutes or so. And then, you know, then it would come back again. But it wasn't dropping on the cell phone GoToWebinar connection, which isn't through DSL. I'm just going directly to the LTE. So right. It's interesting. And I've done this before. What's bizarre about this is I've done this before over DSL on my PC. I've not had a problem. Now, what I could have done, but is to just tether. I could have put the phone in tether mode and tethered my laptop to the phone, but oh well, I got this working, so. But why the DSL? DSL is going to go away here anyway in the next few months, I think. They're going to force us to go to UVerse. It's either that or you go Comcast to one or the other. I mean, yeah, I promised myself that they could have a never cable connection again, so.
Out where we are, we don't have a whole lot of choice. We're kind of stuck with DSL, and that's fine. I've often thought about going to one of the wireless solutions, but I haven't been too sure with some of the offerings in our area. But, yeah, it just sounded like typical routing issues sometimes, as you know, around this time of night. You know, who knows, routing just gets all weird and bogged down and stuff.
You know, Mark, it's really interesting that, you know, I think Chicago, man, would have just the best DSL connection you could think of with the size of the city out there. I've had a great time. That's actually surprising to find out that you have those issues. It's kind of...
Well, it seems to be what the case is. You know, I'm watching it right now, and now it's fine. It was fine, you know. It's always, once in a while, DSL will drop, but not very often. But it seems to be that the data rate over DSL, because of this webinar, I don't know, something to do with this webinar connection was either affecting my router and or the connection. Because once I've dropped the webinar off the PC, it's still up on the phone here. It's not dropping at all.
We've been using this GoToMyWebinar thing, and people have really liked it. I was going to go with the Citrix solution, but you know, in investigating that a little bit, it's actually kind of difficult to run the Citrix stuff. I mean, it's not bad, but it's a lot different. We kind of pulled a few people out there that were, you know, active participants in the last couple of them. They weren't too interested in going to anything, but I might actually go over to that solution, excuse me, it's the WebEx, not Citrix. Citrix is what we're using, boy. But yeah, we might try that next time just to see how that goes. And, you know, that's something for the future. So I want to kind of try to get a little bit better content on here, you know, a little bit less sales-ish, you know. Of course, being with the company, we have to throw that on there. It's, you know, not the meat and potatoes, but it's definitely the gravy on top that makes the bosses happy.
Well, I think you did a very good job tonight, and I hopefully you'll do that in Peoria on Saturday and other future presentations. I think that telling the greater ham audience what WireXX is and why you should use it is really essential, as I said before, because that ultimately is going to keep people interested in system fusion. And that was, I think, I know I've also told you, Chris, the interactivity that available in system fusion radios, you know, doesn't exist in any other solution, whether it be DSTAR or DMR. The availability to see nodes and connect to things on the front panel of a fusion radio is far and above different than any other experience out there in ham radio. And once hams see that and understand that, they're going to say, hey, I really want this radio. Second of all, they're going to understand that Fusion offers them some really interesting opportunities. And now, for all these repeater clubs who put up a repeater just to replace an FM repeater, they're going to go. And once their members start to see what they can do with Fusion or with Wires X, they're going to demand that their repeaters get put on Wires X.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really happy with it in the way that it works with node operations. And David Galloway just actually asked a question here. I just sent him back a message. He said he was a little bit late coming in, and he asked if I could talk a little bit about Wires X and why I like it. And David, I still see you in there, so I'm going to go ahead and answer that question for you. Wires X is our analog digital networking solution. It's similar to some of our competitors' products that allows you to use both analog and digital. And it'll convert in between. So once that signal reaches the Wires X network, the Wires X servers know how to convert it into a signal that's just usable by either of those radios. So it's full compatibility in a networking environment. One of the things that I really like about it, I'm going to go to this next slide once again here and just talk about, and you can take a look at some of the stuff up the top that we talked about. But there are three really nice features that I like. And that's the new station function, the smart access, and easy setup. And Mark, I'm not sure if you've used those yet or not, but the new station is really, really neat. It allows you to store images, text messages, and voice messages. And, you know, all this stuff is done right from the radio. There's no internet connection required or anything like that. Smart access and preset search are the same thing. Or close to the same thing. They allow you to go through and search for the node stations and search for the rooms, and you don't have to update any firmware or load a database onto the radio. So if you're out someplace or you haven't updated your radio, and I've done this before, Mark, and I know that a lot of people have. If you set the radio down for 6 months and you pick it up and you want to use it, and then you haven't updated it or haven't updated a code plug and you just don't have all the stuff in it that you need. So the preset search and smart access allow you to get into the wire system and actually search for node stations and connect to them in real time without the need for an internet connection. The third thing that I really like about wires is there's no complex setup to it. You just literally pop your call sign into the radio when you first turn the radio on or reset it. So when you turn the radio on for your first time right out of the box, it asks you for your call sign. You put that call sign in, then the only thing you really need to do is tune into the repeater frequency and press the Wires X button, and bam, you're on that Wires X node and connected, and you can start browsing through a menu-based system that will show you where the Wires X nodes are and what they're doing. So,
and what's interesting about that is that's actually, you know, I've got a long history in D-Star, and nothing wrong with D-Star, but that gives you a level of connectivity and seamlessness that doesn't really exist in the D-Star environment. It clearly doesn't exist in the DMR environment. I mean, this is really cool. This is really cool stuff. And I think that once hams start to actually, you know, beyond just putting up the repeater and talking, once they start to see this stuff with Wires X, they're going to get really excited. This is transformative. And, you know, as I've told a lot of people locally, Yaesu has actually provided a much more complete solution with hosting the network, providing the rooms, giving the kind of capabilities with the radios that you just talked about that doesn't exist in any other digital voice and data environment on ham radio right now. And so, you know, this is the next generation of ham radio, I really believe, in terms of digital voice and VHF and UHF. And, you know, a lot of hams want to get hung up on the vocoder and this and that, but when you look overall capability is phenomenal.
Yeah. I've been just really impressed with it. I started off with Wires 2, and it was a little bit different, and Echolink was kind of running the game, at that time. And during the Wires 2 release, D-Star really hadn't taken off yet. So it was a good solution for what it was, but I think the company really hit a winner with Wires X and the way that it's able to be controlled. And I'm happy selling it, and I know that they're going to keep moving forward with it. There's been a lot of talk with the software developers, And there's a lot of neat features coming in it, you know. And like I said, we kind of compiled a list of stuff in Japan. I don't know what's coming yet or what's not, but they're going to solidify a lot of that by the DCC, so we can make that a really good show. And you know, and it's going to be some great content for the next year. You know, I've had a good time traveling around and teaching people about it. In fact, actually, just introducing them to digital radio and fusion. And now I'm going to get to go around and teach them something new and kind of get some new content, some fresh stuff out there. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. But by the way, this data when the radios are doing the smart access and the news station and that kind of thing. Are they using the 9600 baud full rate data, or are they using the hybrid digital voice data mode? How are they transporting the data? Is the radio automatically switching to the full rate data mode to do this?
You know, I haven't looked at it on a service monitor yet to really tell. You know, and that was one of the things is I got to see a little bit of that over in Japan, but we really don't have a service monitor here capable of analyzing some of this. And you know, the radio indicates that it's still, you know, in the digital narrow mode, not in the voice wide mode. So I couldn't answer that, but that's a darn good question. I'm going to have to write that one down.
Yeah, somebody from the DCC.
I'm pulling a post-it note out right now.
Yeah, somebody from the DCC is probably going to ask that question is, well, what is the radio doing in the background when you're querying the network? Is it using the data through the narrow mode, you know, the hybrid mode, or is it actually switching over and using the full rate mode to pull all that stuff down? It could be one or the other, but.
And you know, what I'm thinking, and this isn't like an official answer, what I'm thinking is it pulls that data so quick. I mean, it's really, and you know, we need to demonstrate that at the DCC too. I might bring a portable wires node with me just to do it. So it might be switching over to one of the different modes, but you know, when I'm running smart search preset search or smart search, I just don't see that it's the icons changing there, but it's really quick. I mean, it's pulling all that data down really, really fast. So I think it's 9600, but I couldn't say for sure.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to find out. Yeah, that would certainly be interesting to be able, if you could demonstrate, if you had like an FTM 400 set up, or an FTM 100 set up as a node, and an FTM 400 set up as the end user device, and you actually have an internet connection, and you know, HRI 200, the PC running the software, all set up and running at the DCC, and could actually demonstrate on the phrase plate of the radio. I think that would be.
Yeah, I think we're gonna do that for the DCC, and we'll probably do that on the next webinar. Is go through some of that stuff because I want to. You know, I want to get more technical stuff out there, but the programs and, you know, we're still, and I still feel we're in a very infant stage, and that Fusion's got a lot of stuff to come, and these are some of the questions that are great to get into our new knowledge base, you know, that we're setting up, the one that I was talking about earlier. So I appreciate that. That's a good one to have. But I'll tell you what, guys, I'm going to let this run here for about the next 10 minutes, and I guess we'll all jump off. Juan's on answering a few questions for everybody still. So they will just answer a few more questions, and Juan, you're more than welcome to head out at any time. We'll finish answering these tomorrow. Once again, I want to thank everybody that attended the conference. We've got a few more technical things, and we pulled out some information here. We've got our nice little question log up, so we'll have a little bit more technical stuff coming as this program develops and as we develop more for System Fusion. So I think a lot of the technical guys kind of stuck around. I'm looking through the list here. So a lot of the tech guys stuck around to hear us chat here for a minute. So, you know, please join us next time, and, you know, we'll go over some more of this stuff, and we've got some great content here to keep the program going. So that being said, I'm going to let everything run for about the next 10 minutes. If you want to ask more questions, please feel free to pop in there. And if we don't get them answered tonight on the webinar, we'll be posting those online. Like I said, the YASU System Fusion Yahoo group, the Facebook groups, we'll make that link available for all of you to get in there. And thanks once again, Dave and Mark and Ken, and we'll talk to you later, 7-3.
Okay, Chris. It was good. It was a good good webinar tonight. And Ken, hopefully you can make the Hamvention next year. I hope you can make it. We had a great turnout at the System Fusion Forum on Sunday morning.
Yeah, I actually think we're going to make it a point to be there next year. It just coincides so closely with the CPAC one that we do out here on the West Coast. It's only like a week away from it, so it tends to get a little bit cumbersome. But I'd like to try and make it again. We used to actually be out there with the repeater builder guys, Kevin and Scott, so maybe we'll see if we can work something out for next year.
I was astounded. You know, we didn't make – I didn't reserve the room until February, so we had to do it on Sunday morning. And we had a full room, almost 300 people in the largest room. Next year it's going to be on Friday or Saturday, and I can only imagine that the room will be standing room only, literally. It was interesting, and I took a poll at the beginning to see what other codes that people use. And a great majority of probably most of the people in that room use D-Star, which I thought was really interesting because there they were wanting to learn something about a new technology. And I think that's really positive that, you know, there is some cross-pollinization between the two communities and that it's not an either or. I think people are going to own multiple radios. They already have these sort of contribution too, especially if they have a repeater in their area.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, well, we saw the response just out here. I mean, our little corner of the world, I mean, is huge, but we get, you know, quite a few people showing up from the West. Because, well, not just Pacific Northwest, a lot of guys come up from even Southern California for it. There was quite a bit of attendance at the I believe there were two fusion seminars this past year. And so, yeah, it's definitely going. And just the responses that we get throughout our work week of just people calling, wanting to know how to interface with the DR1X and all that is just amazing how much that's growing. And as I told Chris, I never expected the kind of response that we got to our ADR interface. I mean, just been unbelievable. But that is really just a testament to how popular Fusion is becoming. So I think Yaesu has a real winner on its hand once it gets past all these initial growing pains.
Yeah, and, you know, because a lot of these Fusion repeaters replace existing FM repeaters, there was a lot of other things that needed to be connected to, controllers, this, that, the other things here, interface provided that opportunity. Once they see where's X, since, you know, once they start going down that path, you know, I think that's going to be the second wave of excitement after they get the repeater up. So,
oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, a lot of our customers have told us, yeah, exactly right. They bought a DR1 to replace an old, aging, failing Master 2 or something, and then they get to realize one of their members ended up buying an FTM 400 or whatnot, and all of a sudden they're really interested in digital. So, that's really good to go. I mean, I myself, just my own personal use. I mean, I went out and bought an FT991, even though my main activity is really like we signal VHF and UHF. I do a lot of 2 meter EME and 6 meter terrestrial work, but. I got the 991 to be compatible and ended up putting an FTM 400 in my car just to have the fusion capability. And slowly seeing more repeaters even in this area. I've deployed one and I'm planning on deploying the second here pretty soon.
Right.
So, anyway, all right, well, I'm going to get out of here. And it's been a long day for everybody, I mean, especially for you. You're back in Chicago, so you're probably ready to bail too.
So, okay, well, thanks a lot, everyone. Thanks.
Take care, Mark. Nice talking to you. And thanks, Chris.